to Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. We're going to read the story to verse 40. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. It's on page 1112 in the church red Bibles in front of you. It's brilliant. Once when they were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned round and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself! We're all here!" The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your whole household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his whole family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release these men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave, go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No. Let them come and let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and encouraged them. Then they left. Rui's going to come and explain this to us.
Well, good evening, everyone. Good evening. I love a good story. I used to read lots of books when I was younger, but that was before you could watch countless movies and box sets on Netflix and Amazon and the huge number of channels we have on our TVs. And now I'm hooked by these because I just love stories, really great stories. They draw us in, don't they? They make us feel like we are right there, living the scenes with the actors. I don't know about you, but when you start to read a good book, once you pick it up, you struggle to put it down. You are desperate to find out what happens next. You long to see how the different characters cope with what life throws at them. And I don't know about you, but this sometimes drives us to crazy behaviours for readers or viewers. Have you ever binge-watched anything? There's a few people nodding. There's a few people who don't know what it is. Binge watching was a word that came into the common language. It came into the Oxford Online Dictionary in 2014. And it's just about watching multiple videos or DVDs or digital streams in rapid succession to just get a whole story. And I think that Acts of the Apostles is like that. This book of the Bible that we've been going through over a number of weeks, it's a bit like multiple episodes of a box set where you just want to go from story to story. You don't want to put it down. You want to find out what happens next. You want to binge hear or binge read the next episode. But even though every story is different, they are all about the spread of God's good news. The spread of his gospel across the world. The good news that Jesus of Nazareth came as our saviour. Now, right when I start, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that Acts of the Apostles is a fictional story. This is history. This is God's history written for us. And it is so exciting that you wouldn't believe the stuff that is in here if you saw it in a film or in a movie. But this was written by a very logically minded person, by Luke, a doctor whose very purpose in writing his books was to provide an orderly account so that we believers might have certainty of the things we're taught about Jesus. This story, incredible as it is, the one that was just read to us, is real. It took place. And like most stories have a structure to them. They have a beginning, a middle, and an end, or there's normally a problem, a solution, and the aftermath. And our passage tonight is no different. It's exactly the same. Acts 16 is the same. You can find it as we were told today. It's in the church Bibles on page 1112 if you want to follow it along. Follow along. And the story starts with Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke on their way to a prayer meeting in Philippi. They're walking along and they meet a slave girl who's able to tell fortunes. But she's only able to tell them because of an evil spirit inside of her. She's been stalking them for days, telling everyone that these guys have the answer from God about how to be saved. And it happens for days, and Paul eventually gets worn down by this all. He gets worn down by the fortune teller's constant shouting. He turns on her and, well, you'd imagine there'd be some sort of confrontation there. But it's not physical, it's not verbal. There is a spiritual confrontation that happens right there. In Jesus' name, Paul gets rid of the fortune teller's demon or spirit, which is how she's able to see the reality of what's going on. And by the way, if you don't believe in a spiritual side to life, well, come and ask somebody about it. It is real. But it's also very dangerous. Anyway, the owners of the fortune teller of this slave see that their way of making money is gone and they want some revenge. So they grab Paul and Silas, Timothy and Luke are off somewhere else, and they take them to the courts to be judged. But when they get there, they're not brought in front of the magistrates on charges that have anything to do with what they've done. They're brought in front of the magistrates on really trumped up charges. The magistrates are told the lie. They are told that Paul and Silas were promoting a non-Roman way of living. And this would have been a big problem for the authorities back then. So on that very day, they had Paul and Silas stripped, beaten, and thrown into prison. But they weren't just put into any part of the prison. They were put into the most secure part, the inner part of that prison. And they weren't just put in chains. Their feet were also placed in stocks. So if this was a movie or a film, we'd imagine that our heroes are at their lowest point possible. They're in jail, so securely incarcerated that the best magician in the world couldn't get them out. Neither Harry Houdini, David Copperfield, Paul Daniels, or Dynamo could get out of this situation that they're in. And that, depending on how old you are, that will resonate with different people. They are guarded by the jailer and his helpers, and the outlook is bleak. Could this be the end for our heroes? Is this the end of their journeys? The end of them taking God's good news to the world? Well, fast forward less than 24 hours, and we see Paul and Silas having food with the jailer and his family. Less than 24 hours later, when they are finally released by the authorities that same day, the jailer waves them off with a greeting that would have normally been used by believers one to another. He says, "Go in peace." What happened in 24 hours to move Paul and Silas from this maximum security prison to staying in a bed and breakfast with the owner and having a full English breakfast? How did they become best friends with the jailer? How could this problem that we saw earlier of apparently being in a position of no hope end up in this sort of ending? Well, the verses in between these two sections tell us exactly what happened. And spoiler alert, this may come as a surprise to some, but it has everything to do with Jesus. So Paul and Silas are there in maximum security. They are locked up. They must have been in such pain from their beating. They must have been extremely uncomfortable with their feet in the stocks. And I know if I'd been in that situation, I probably would have been curled up in a ball in the corner. But at midnight, Paul and Silas can be heard singing hymns and praying to God. That's just incredible, isn't it? We don't know what they were praying for. We don't know whether they were praying for a miracle. We don't know whether they were praying to be saved. We don't know whether they were praying for the strength to withstand whatever might be coming the next day. Or even were they praying for just a good night's sleep? We just don't know. Luke hasn't recorded that, which sounds like a big piece of the story is missing. But I think that this display of their trust and faith in God, when I've been reading this passage, was not the key about this story. So, okay, midnight, prayer, singing, and the other prisoners are listening. They haven't really got much of a choice. They are literally a captive audience. But they are listening to Paul and Silas. They are listening to followers of Jesus talking to and praising God. Right in the middle of their troubles. Right in the darkest moment. But again, as I was reading this, I still don't think that's the main point here. That although this is a great witness to people, to be able to sing and to pray to God when you're in the middle of something dark and horrible, it is a great witness. So, okay, midnight, prayer, singing, everyone's listening. Suddenly, there's a violent earthquake, one that shakes the very foundations of the prison. It is so violent that chains are shaken loose, that doors are flung open, and prisoners are able to escape. This must be what the passage is about, surely. God can save people through miracles. Well, yes, God can save people, and he still does save people through miracles today. But I still don't think that's the main thing that I think we should learn from this story. Okay, I can hear you all say, well, you've told us what it's not about. It's not about singing or praying or doing things that are in adversity, being a witness for God, or it's not about saving people through miracles, God saving people through miracles. So what is it about? Well, I think there's a central section of this story that, as I've been reading it, has really struck me as being the key bit to this. And if we could have the first couple of slides up. We've had the earthquake. We've had the doors shaken loose, the chains shaken loose, and the prisoners able to escape. The jailer woke up. When he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself when he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The slave girl was going around telling everyone, following Paul and Silas and all the others around, saying, "These guys know what it means to be saved." And we find the jailer now at the lowest point in his life. He is probably an ex-soldier, that's what most jailers were, but whatever he was, he has hit rock bottom. He cannot see a way out of his problem, out of his predicament. Well, actually, he can see a way out, and that is to end his life. But for him, there is no light at the end of his tunnel. There is no solution that he can see to his problems. There is no hope at all. And I don't know about you, but I think we've probably all had moments in our lives where we've felt something like that, when we've been so depressed or down that we can't see how things will ever turn out right. When our tunnels seem endless and dark and frightening, where we can't see how we will ever get out of the mess we're in. But this jailer has not only witnessed a miracle with the earthquake shaking prisoners free, he's also seen that these most wanted men, Paul and Silas, are still there. They didn't take the opportunity to escape when it presented itself. Instead, they stayed. The jailer's life was saved by them. He had hope because they were still there. They hadn't left. He didn't have to end his life. And we would naturally expect in that sort of situation for him to be really grateful and to tend to their wounds and to feed them. But the words that Luke records here are really starkly different. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? The jailer could see in these men, in Paul and in Silas, that there was something special, that they were living a different kind of life, that they were bringing a message that needed to be listened to. The jailer recognized that this message of salvation that they were bringing was one he needed to listen to. And Paul and Silas shared something incredibly simple with the jailer, something that should encourage all of us as we seek to share God's news with people around us. They replied these words: believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. That is an incredibly simple message that Paul and Silas have just shared with this jailer. Believe in the Lord Jesus. Very simple words that then Paul and Silas unpack for the jailer by speaking the word of the Lord to him and to the rest of his household. This isn't a complicated message that we have as followers of Jesus. 5 short, easy to remember, easy to understand words. Words that completely transformed the life of this jailer and of his household. Words that sum up so well the good news that they wanted to share with everyone. Believe in Jesus and be saved. One of the immediate questions you come to there is, well, what do we need to be saved from? And that's a whole another sermon. But basically, we are due to be punished for our disobedience of God. And it's what we deserve. And we need to be saved from that. We can't save ourselves. Someone else must do that for us. And that's what Jesus did for us. And that's what we'll be celebrating in a while as we have communion. There is a bit in there, I don't want you to get too hung up on it, about the jailer's faith and whether it covers or saved his household. The New Testament is really serious about the unity of families and households, so much so that if the head of a household became a believer, that offer would be made to everyone else, children, spouses, slaves, whoever. But they too must hear the good news and believe about Jesus. This was and is the only way to be saved. You yourself must believe. Every individual had to believe. No one else can do it for you. So I think the main thing of this passage for us is that we have a really simple message to share with the rest of the world. Believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. And we can really overcomplicate this. We can make it complex. Or we can think that we don't have the words to do it, or we don't have the skills to share this with other people. But that's all they said. That's all they said to turn this jailer's life around from one of no hope to one filled with joy. That is a huge turnaround. And my encouragement to you is that I think that you are all, if you are a believer of the Lord Jesus, you are thoroughly equipped to share this good news with other people. But I think tonight, I think that you could be in one of three places. And I don't know, everybody here, I don't know where you all are, but I think you could be in one of three places. Either you'll be somebody who has believed in Jesus as your Saviour for years, in which case, don't ever forget that Jesus is your Saviour. Paul and Silas were taking a message of hope to the people around us, and that's what we should be doing as well. People need to be saved. We'll be celebrating this good news of what Jesus did for us in a minute through communion. So you might be somebody who's in that category. Or you might be somebody who's heard the message that Jesus came to save you many, many times before, but you haven't made that commitment. In which case, I'd really urge you to look at something that Paul wrote later on in his letter to believers in Rome. He wrote in Romans 10, verse 9, that if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Or this might be completely new news to you. It might be new news that there is hope in your life. It might be new news that your life can be incredibly turned around by Jesus, by believing absolutely in him, just like the Philippian jailer did. And if you wanted to talk to somebody about this afterwards, please do talk to someone you know well here, or if you want to talk to me because I'm less familiar, then do come and have a word with me. But no matter who you are, no matter which place you find yourself in, this message, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, is a really simple one for you and for you to share. We're going to be looking at some questions in a minute on our tables. And the questions will come up on the screen in a second. But they are there as a guide. If you find you want to talk about something else that comes out of this passage, please do that. These are only a guide for you tonight. But I think what I would really like to do is look at these three questions if you have time. And they start with sharing stories of people that you know, whose lives you know have been turned around after meeting Jesus. I think it is such an encouragement for all of us to hear those stories of people that we know, people who were in a place of no hope, but now are in a place of joy, like the jailer. And I think then spend some time thinking about how you could simply share that good news with somebody else. And then spend some time in prayer. Pray for the people you know that aren't yet followers of the Lord Jesus, that they would turn their lives towards our Saviour, towards Christ. So let me pray before we break into, am I right that we're going to go into groups now and then? Yeah? Okay, and then we'll come back for communion. So let me pray before we break into groups now. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the way that Luke has captured these unbelievable stories in this book. Father, if they weren't written down, we wouldn't believe that they were true. But these dramatic stories just tell us just how amazing your good news is, your hope that you want to bring into this world. So, Father, we pray that as we spend time thinking about that now, as we spend time reflecting on those stories where we've seen your hope brought into people's lives already, that we would really dwell in that, that we would just come to appreciate that so well. Father, we pray that everyone would believe in the Lord Jesus so that they would be saved. So, Father, help us to see what we need to be doing differently, how we need to be praying for those people around us so that they would come to that knowledge of you. Father, help us in this time now. Amen.